It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. My name is Kurt Frankum. I am your host and have the opportunity to bring some fun, interesting leadership content to you. It is my goal to create a resource online where any leader in the church can come and find valuable ideas, resources, and research relating to being a better leader in the LDS context. Today, I have a very important message for you. I want to talk about meetings. Now, it's sort of an ongoing joke in the church that we just have too many meetings, or we're supposed to be at home with our families, but everybody's calling another meeting, and I've got to go to a meeting. There's a ward council meeting and a sacrament meeting and a stake high council meeting. And it sort of becomes this joke, right, that everybody knows, says it's tongue in cheek, that they know the meeting's necessary, but they really would do without them. And the bottom line is meetings are either really good or they're toxic. There's no in between. There's no meeting that's sort of good or sort of worth your time. It either is or it's awful and it's toxic. So I want to share a few perspectives that I have and some ideas I've gathered from various articles and even just from real life experience that can really add to having a great meeting. And you may completely disagree with me. And if you haven't realized yet, I am looking for people to disagree. So please throw it in the comments. Let me know why you disagree and let's get a dialogue going. And in that dialogue, we'll find some great ideas. Now, I'm going to kind of use ward council as sort of the core meeting that we have. I'm not talking about the block meetings, you know, sacrament meeting, Sunday school, or priesthood or relief society meeting. I'm talking about the meeting that a presiding authority calls, brings in a council, whether it's a high council or ward council, and then slowly eats away time of your life and that you'll never get back. And so it's so important that those meetings are awesome. Now, here's the thing. The handbook, too, tells us that ward councils should be held regularly or at least once a month. Now, you can interpret regularly however you want. I'm sure if you live in the boonies of Africa, that it's hard to meet more than once a month, if even that, or you're doing some sort of phone call. I don't know how it works if they, you know. And recently I've heard of some general authorities coming to state conferences and really encouraging ward councils to meet more than once a month. Even in some states, I've heard it mandated that it should be something you do weekly. And this really sort of makes me cringe. Now, I get that presiding authority doesn't necessarily want to burden your life with more meetings or torture you with more meetings. They sincerely want the ward council to work together to elevate the status of the ward, the effectiveness of the ward, and put together some ideas and plans that are going to bless the lives of individuals. I get that. However, people that don't have experience with holding meetings see that and say, well, I guess we're just supposed to meet once a week. And then those meetings become toxic, horrible, torturous, that people hate and dread going to. And that is not good for your leadership or for the status of the ward. Now, I want to share with you a clip from the 2010 Worldwide Leadership Training. This is a fantastic training, and I should probably delve more into it and spend more time with sharing parts of it, because these worldwide trainings are fantastic. I mean, there's so much to learn there, and we should probably go back to them more often, but they're easily forgotten, some of the details. So let me share with you what Elder Bednar had to say about the word meeting in the LDS Church.
If I had the wish of my heart, I would remove from the vocabulary of the Latter-day Saints the word meeting. We have not been talking about a ward council meeting. we've been talking about a revelatory experience with the members of the ward council. And if members of councils, if members of families, as they come together, would think in terms of, I'm preparing to participate in a revelatory experience with my family instead of going to a meeting, a revelatory experience with the members of the ward council, I think we would prepare and act much differently. In these latter days, given the forces of the adversary and the darkness, no one person in a family and no one person in a ward is going to be the conduit through which all of the answers come. So all of that speaks to the spiritual nature of this work and seeking for the inspiration to do what the Lord wants us to do.
All right. Perfect quote. Hit the nail on the head. So from this point forward, let's agree that unless you've planned an agenda for a revelatory experience, that you're just going to cancel every meeting in your life unless that's going to happen. Now, in an effort to help you as a leader, maybe there's a new bishop out there that's running a ward council, maybe a new elders' quorum president, relief society president that now has to have presidency meetings. Let me give you 7 unbreakable rules of church meetings. Rule number 1, 60-minute limit. Seriously, just 60 minutes, not a minute more, and hopefully a lot less. This is something that people, I've seen leaders both in the church and in the secular world, just get obsessed with meetings. And they feel like, since we're all in the room, we might as well just keep talking about these things and solving problems. Stop it. Don't let this happen. Handbook 2 in chapter 4.6 advises ward council should be 60 to 90 minutes in duration. Now, this is some nice encouragement for those people that love to hold 3-hour meetings, which you should be ashamed of yourself. But in reality, there really is no meeting that needs to go longer than 60 minutes. And if there is, please let me know. I completely disagree if anybody feels like a meeting should go longer than 60 minutes. That's it. And if you can't help but go over that hour mark, bring in a kitchen timer. Set that kitchen timer 60 minutes and let everybody in that room know that when this buzzer goes off, you are free to walk out of this room. You see, because there's this thing called Parkinson's Law. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's life-changing. This states that a meeting or any task will expand to fill the time you allotted for it. So if you start a meeting, maybe an evening meeting at 7 o'clock, and you don't have anything else planned the rest of the night, it may go to 9 or 10, because around 9 or 10, people naturally start thinking, at least in the American culture, that it's sort of time to go home and wrap it up. And so then they start winding down. Don't be the leader that loses track of time and says, oops, I guess we went 30 minutes over. It's not going to do well for your leadership if you're the leader that is constantly going over. You have stronger leadership when the people in your meetings know that you run a tight ship and that you're going to only hold that meeting for 60 minutes, maybe even less. And even surprising them with a shorter meeting goes a long way. And I would even say the majority of meetings only need to be 30 minutes. But I'm not going to push it any further than 60 minutes. I think everybody can get everything done they need to or talked about in 60 minutes. And if they can't, it's not worth talking about it. Rule number 2, anybody that's a part of the meeting can cancel and no excuse is required. I had a good friend that was a bishop, and then he was called to a stake presidency as one of the counselors. And shortly after his call to the stake presidency, he shared with me kind of the surprise dynamic of that he wasn't in charge of the show anymore. It was, you know, if the stake president wanted to hold a meeting, he felt obligated to be there. Whereas bishop, you know, if it was a crazy time in his home or his family needed him that night, he felt okay with canceling the meeting and being with his family, as we should be. So everybody needs that autonomy in that meeting to be able to cancel their attendance, not meaning the whole meeting, but just their attendance. Now you're thinking, but wait, ward council or stake high council meeting, so important. People need to be there. Well, if you as the leader are practicing and getting better at making these meetings revelatory experiences, they won't miss it for the world. I guarantee you that any time Elder Bednar holds a meeting, people won't miss it for the world. And it's not because he's just an apostle. It's because he knows how to run a meeting. He knows how to invite the Spirit and make it a life-changing experience. Rule number three is a big one. No administration allowed. Years ago, I had a boss that I swear could not process any problem without having a room full of people. It felt like we had to decide as a committee every time he got a new email from somebody. He was constantly pulling us away from our desk to, you know, get our perspective on things. And it drove me crazy because it kept interrupting me. Now, I get it. It's tempting to use a meeting to process administrative tasks. Everyone's in the room. You can get quick feedback. You can decide on the details of the barbecue, of the activity coming up, of who should serve and what calling. It's tempting to do that, but it's a waste of people's time and it hurts your leadership. Handbook 2, again, states, the ward council seeks inspiration in developing a course of action to bless the lives of members. The council's focus is on helping people, not administering programs. So, kind of a subset to this rule, here are three big no's for avoiding, you know, administrative tasks or topics in meetings. Number one, no downloading of information. Don't inform for the informing sake. It's a waste of people's time to review, you know, a list of announcements, activity details, dates, etc. If it can be easily communicated in an email, then send it in an email. It allows people to review it on their own time, process it on their own time, and if they have questions, they'll let you know or they'll bring it to the meeting and ask questions. The second big no is no brainstorming. Brainstorming can be powerful. I get it, but it doesn't need to happen within a meeting. If you need ideas to a problem or an activity or who to call to a position in the ward, ask people to prepare those ideas in advance, and you can still have, you know, a short brainstorming session with already established ideas. It's the brainstorming sessions that the leader pulls out of his back pocket that nobody was expecting that really waste time. The third big no is no round robin. Just because you're sitting in a circle doesn't mean you need to talk in a circle. Giving everybody a chance to state randomness unrelated to the agenda is really a waste of time. Everyone feels obligated to say something, and that doesn't help keep the meeting under 60 minutes. That's when meetings go out of control, is when you feel like everybody needs to report and say something. If there's nothing to report, get out of there. Move on with your life. The ward's going great. Rule number four, agenda is required. Now, this is easier said than done because creating an agenda does take some time. This is an area, I've got to say, I haven't mastered all these seven rules. And agenda is one of them. Sometimes you feel like, oh, you just kind of, everybody stumbles into the room and you start talking about stuff and people, right? It's worth canceling the meeting if the agenda is not clear and set. Now, how that's done, whether it's printed or electronic or however you want to do it, doesn't matter. Just do an agenda and make sure it's communicated prior to the meeting so people have time to process information rather than processing it in the meeting. Number five, no tech, no smartphones, no tablets, no laptops. Just have a meeting that's straight up. Now, some people may argue that, oh, there's certain information I need to recall, then prepare it beforehand. Again, it's not worth the distraction that smartphones and tablets are in these settings. Number six, rule number six, always assume the presiding authority is misguided. Now, listen, this isn't some statement of apostasy. What I'm saying is if there's somebody in the room that everybody thinks is the smartest guy, then that doesn't bode well for good discussion and debate about problems. Everybody's going to be waiting for the bishop to have the final say, and then they'll think, well, why do we even share my ideas when the bishop is going to settle the debate anyways? So assume the bishop or presiding authority misguided until he or she confirms the final decision. And there's a great post, a guest post that was written called You Are Not to Take Over on Leading LDS that I strongly encourage you to check out. And finally, the last rule of any church meeting is, when in doubt, cancel the meeting. You will be shocked how capable people are, even when no meeting is held. They'll figure out the activity. They'll figure out who to call. Things will run just fine without a meeting. So what are your thoughts? What rules am I missing? I'm sure there's one or two that I should add to this list. What are the unbreakable rules that you follow as a leader when it comes to meetings so you don't waste people's time and turn them into revelatory experiences? I appreciate you listening to the Leading LDS podcast. I've got some great feedback. I appreciate that. It's motivating. Keep it coming. If you have desire to contribute to the Leading LDS cause, please check out the Consequence Stick on Leading LDS. It's a great visual aid for a bishop's office, a home, for parents, teachers, a great way to teach consequence. And stay tuned, as in the next few weeks, we should be releasing the food order reference guide. I don't really know what I'm calling it. I guess I'll go with that. But a strong reference guide for bishops, Relief Society presidents, anybody who deals with the food order process, a way to expedite that process, save the church money, and use it more diligently in helping the poor and the needy. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.